You're listening to the Legacy Church Podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Good morning. How are you doing? We got a lot of ground to cover this morning. Actually, this is our final installment in the Heroes series. But I guarantee you there'll be another installment down the road. Just a series, because there's a lot of good guys and gals in Scripture that we could talk about, and so we'll be doing this again. This has been a really enjoyable series, and so thank you for sticking with us through it. We've used Hebrews 12 as our kind of launching verse, where the cloud of witnesses is standing at heaven's a gate, so to speak, and kind of over the banister, cheering us on in the race. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty exciting idea and concept and picture that the writer of Hebrews is communicating to us. I'm excited about today's hero because I wanted to find somebody who kind of had a bent towards prayer, and in particular because we are heading into 21 days of prayer. You heard it on the announcement that Spencer made. We're heading into a season of 21 days of prayer, beginning tomorrow morning. And what we're doing just practically is we're opening the doors here at 6:30 a.m. for 1 hour, 6:30 to 7:30. Anyone who would like to join us, we'll have a prayer booklet that will be available to you that will just give you some prayer guides, prayer templates, ideas to just kind of expand and maybe broaden your prayer, maybe just the way you pray, maybe different tools that will help you in how you pray. We'll be exercising some of those models during our 21 days of prayer together. So that's 6:30 to 7:30, and it's going to be a more directed time of prayer, to where we'll begin with worship. One of our worship leaders will lead us in a couple of songs of worship, and then we'll gather together, pray directionally. We'll give you some things to pray about, and then we'll let you pray in the room. Take your booklet, bring a journal, bring your Bible, and just spend some time in prayer. We'll come back together, pray for our government officials, and pray for our cities, and I mean just families, lots of different things to pray over. Then we'll close in worship, and if you can only come for 30 minutes, you know, you don't have to stay the whole hour. We're not going to lock the doors behind you. But if you come, just spend any time with us. It would just be awesome to be engaged in prayer together. Like I said, we have a lot to pray about as a church, as a fellowship, moving into our 1 year in October. Paul says in Ephesians 6, he says, pray in the Spirit and in every situation. Use every kind of prayer and request there is for the same reason. He says, be alert. Use every kind of effort and make every kind of request for all of God's people. Use every kind of prayer, he said. And so sometimes it's just good to broaden our prayer arsenal. Sometimes you can be praying and in your room and kind of trying to seek the Lord, and your mind starts to wander. Anybody that happened to? Your mind wanders. Pretty soon you're making the grocery list, and oh dear Lord, you know. And so these sometimes templates and tools will help to kind of strengthen that area. We're going to call down today from the bleachers, the grandstands. We've been using this kind of picture of asking, inviting one of these heroes down from the bleachers to help us, to give us some advice. And this guy that we're calling down, you may not have heard much about, maybe 18 years ago, if you can believe, 18 years ago, a book entitled The Prayer of Jabez was released. I mean, can believe it's 18 years ago that was. But we're going to invite Jabez down from the bleachers to talk to us about this subject of prayer. It's interesting when you look at the book of 1 Chronicles, Jabez is in the mix, right in the middle, about like 600 names around Jabez. And in fact, not only 600 names, about 600 begats, kind of the begets of the Bible. You know what a beget is? It's like so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so and begat so-and-so. And it's just a list of and was the father of and was the father of and all the begats. And then all of a sudden, it's like the Bible hits a pause button. In chapter 4 of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4, there's just a pause. And it's like like everything stops. Okay, let's hold with the begets for a minute and let's introduce Jabez. And two verses on this guy's life are inserted, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And then right after, and then it's kind of close out those verses, and then and begat, and then it continues on, and begat, and chapter 5. And then he begat, and it just continues on. And so we figure that if the Bible is pausing there to show us something about Jabez, and it probably would be worth our time to look at his life. And so look at it with me, 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9, starting at verse 9. And here's what it says. It's up on the screens for you. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, and here it is, I gave birth to him in pain. And all the moms said, yeah, I gave birth to him in pain. In fact, Jabez's name means pain. I mean, his name means pain. His mom named him Pain. So if you got, you know, like, hello, over there's Sarah, and there's you know, Brittany, and over here, and this is Pain. Okay? So Sarah, Brittany, and Pain. And like, wow. I mean, imagine that kid going to school, and I mean, just Pain. Why did you get it? We don't know specifically. Maybe it was the child rearing. I mean, one commentator actually went into detail thinking that maybe because he was a stout fellow. Like he must have been a stout baby then. I don't know. But anyways, he was named Pain. And he goes on, it says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Elohim, cried out to God, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And a spoiler alert here, the last five words of these verses say, and God granted his request. So something that in Jabez's heart just chorused with the heart of God, and God granted his request. So Jabez means pain. Interesting to note that culture of the day, a name was given. And by the way, if anybody's name's Brittany, I didn't mean to sound like I was making fun of your name. I just thought that, you know, Sarah, Brittany, and Pain. I just, you know. Anyways, nobody here by that name. All right, so we're going to just move right on. The culture of the day was a name was given as a way of expressing their hopes and beliefs in what their child is or should be. A name contained purpose and promise and possibilities. So in essence, Jabez's mom was more, it seemed more, I don't know if cursed, maybe that's kind of a strong word, but maybe morbid, maybe bitter, maybe seeing like I'm pronouncing over you a life of pain. I don't know it, but why would you name your son Pain? But when you follow Jabez's prayer, he's approaching Elohim. He's approaching the God of Israel. And he doesn't lead his prayer. Watch this. He doesn't lead his prayer with pain. He leads his prayer with promise. He doesn't lead his prayer by recounting all of the stuff. Sometimes we get, and there's nothing wrong with coming to God with all of our prayer, all of our problems and all of our perplexities in life. But as long as we're not just getting stuck there, Jabez leads with a prayer of promise. He doesn't want the pain to be the identifier through his life. It's more his promise from God. I was thinking about this. Our first born daughter, Carissa, we lost her at, she died at 7 months of age, and Patty shares the story in one of her messages. I invite you to go back and hear that. But that year after Carissa died, it was January 8th, and I just remember that year. That was, we're talking something 30, 32 years ago. And that was a tough year of just navigating the pain of her loss. We were youth pastors at her church, and the church that particular year, just months after Carissa was born, we were up on the stage with about 40 other couples that had birthdays. Like, the church was growing biologically, and it was pretty exciting, and everybody was, you know, kind of, and then this tragedy happened, and we began to walk through the remainder of that year without Carissa. And it was a year later to the day, so January 8th, a year later, we are leaving the hospital, buckling into the back seat. Hannah Joy Moreno. And there's no doubting, you hear the middle name, Joy, why we named her Hannah Joy. Because we were declaring something that day as we were leaving that hospital, that Hannah's life, even though she was just a newborn baby, to us, it was the indicator. And just that we sensed the joy of God. And we were speaking something into our daughter, who to this day remains a great joy to us. There's something powerful about a name. And so Jabez, he refused to. And I just want to encourage you today. Because maybe you're here and you're kind of like, yeah, you know, I've had a name, maybe not your literal name, but maybe just a name that just life has handed you. Maybe a name that has settled in your heart, maybe a name that you were called as a child, or maybe a name that you were called by your parents, or something that you've walked through and you're marked by, or you have the sense you're identified by tragedy or divorce or brokenness or failure or whatever it might be. And sometimes we can learn something from Jabez here, who says, you know what, I'm not going to linger there. I'm going to go in and lean into what God calls me. I love the fact that our worship team this morning sang, I am who you say I am. So Jabez prays, he gives us a prayer perspective. And then let me just give a little sort of understanding. Whenever you use a prayer model to learn from, this is not a prayer per se, a prayer mantra that you would kind of like a rabbit's foot, you know, like, hey, I'm just gonna start every day and I just kind of, you know, prayer presence, and you know, and I say that every day and I do I twist around three times and then I, you know, and quote whatever, and like that's somehow where the power lies. That, like, I want my prayers answered, so there's God answered his, so I'm going to say it this way, and God, you better do that for me now. And that's not the heart of Jabez that we pick up. And so we're gonna dig into this a little bit and just catch some of the components of the prayer and use those as takeaways as we move into 21 days of prayer together. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, Elohim. And so you get this idea that he knows who he's talking to. This is the God who created everything. This is God who is a warrior, God who is one, God who is trustworthy, God who is too great to be described. And the first thing right out of the gate Jabez says is, oh, that you would bless me. So write this down in your notes, if you would. Write prayer. Pray for blessing. Pray for blessing. As you just consider a model of prayer, pray for blessing. I love that the attitude and heart of Jabez, he was saying, I know, in a sense, I know I've been the source of pain. I know pain has been prophesied over my life, but today I instead pray for blessing. I pray for blessing. Oh, that you would bless me. That word blessing is a Hebrew word, kind of a barak, kind of barak sounding, kind of one of those words again. pray that blessing is, and it really what it means is, it's saying, God, I'm asking for something out of the resource of who you are, something in me I do not have. I'm reaching into all that you are, God, and I'm asking you for the blessing, for to make up the loss, or make up the place where I lack in my life. God, bless me. Would you bless me? It's more than materialism, though it does include that, certainly. It's more than wealth and prosperity. This isn't a name it, claim it, grab it, blab it, or blab it, grab it kind of theology. It's not prosperity doctrine. It's saying, God, I want your blessing. Health, ideas, vision, favor. I pray blessing over my family, over my children, over our church. I like the psalmist says, you have given me your shield of victory. Your right hand supports me. Your help has made me great. This blessing comes by the hand of God. And here's the motivation as we're learning this prayer model. The motivation we find in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. God speaking, he says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. See, the blessing that we're praying for it's not just for us. We're praying a blessing. We're praying for blessing to be a blessing. Now, that's the motivation is, God, I want you to bless me. And it's almost this, and I want you to really take this. We're not just praying for God, Lord, we just need you to meet our needs. God, you know what our needs are. We just need you to meet our needs. You'll never hear us stand in front of Legacy Church and say, folks, we need to ramp up the giving because we're having trouble paying the rent. That's praying for the needs. We're saying, God, watch this, in our homes, as a church, God, we pray for more than we need. Watch. Why? So that we can be a blessing. So we can be a blessing to others. So we can be a blessing to the people around us. That's not greed. That's not, God, I just want to go buy more stuff. It's, God, I want to be a blessing to others, to those around us. So it's a good sort of understanding would be to be able to say, Lord, give me more than I need so I can be a blessing to the world around me. We saw this happen, play out during our serve day that we had here. We went out into the community to just bless our community any way we could. There was a grandmother who is raising three teenage girls, about like 13 and 11 and a 9-year-old or 10-year-old. And I met this grandmother, overheard her talking to a friend at a park here in Liberty Lake. And she was telling her friend about just some of the trials and her daughter who, because of drug abuse, is not able to be with her kids, not able to raise her kids. And so it's kind of been, now it's the grandmother's responsibility to try to do this. And I could just hear her laboring and talking about this. And so I just kind of seized that moment, trying not to eavesdrop, but I said, hey, introduced myself, and we're going to do a serve day, and we're going to go out in the community. Is there something that we can we do something for your family? And so we talked a little bit, and when it was all said and done, she said, you know, I know you asked if you could do something for my grandkids. She said, you know, they really love cornhole. They love the game cornhole. I said, they do, huh? She said, yeah. So, I don't know, it'd be great for them to have a cornhole game. I said, I think we could get a cornhole game for your grandkids. And so, anyways, I left there, and we exchanged addresses and found out where she lived. And we deployed our team, some ladies, with the cornhole delivery. But they weren't satisfied to just do a cornhole game delivery. They got the names, ages of the girls, and they bought clothing, they bought accessories, they bought all of their school supplies, and they put together this amazing, they blessed them. They didn't just meet the knee, right? They just said, no, we want to go beyond that. We want to do something more. And I think that's the heart that God wants us to operate in. We have a car cruisers event September 15th. If you like hot rods, right here in our parking lot. In fact, the chief of police came over and said, "Hey, Gary, is there a chance we could use your side of the parking lot for the cruisers event?" And I was like, absolutely, you can use our side of the parking lot. We've been using your side of the parking lot. We had this wonderful meeting, and great exchange. But they just want to partner with us, right? What an opportunity. So all of the communities surrounding region coming together on our parking lot on September 15th. How many know we ought to be available? We ought to be there to do something to bless the community back. So I asked the police officer, I said, "Hey, could we pop popcorn? Could we give away waters? Could we serve cotton candy? I mean, what could we do something?" He goes, "Absolutely, let's do this." So he's coming over, and they're going to talk to our team and begin to collaborate on how we can be a blessing. We're doing a trunk or treat. As a church, we want to bless our community with a trunk or treat and kind of work in collaboration with our legacy kids and get rally behind. And I hope you get your car signed up and decorate yourself at Halloween, and let's be a blessing to our kids. Buy those bags of candy. You'll be hearing more about that. We want to be a blessing. We want to pray the prayer of Jabez. "Oh, that you would bless us, Lord." We don't want you just to meet our needs. We want to go above that so we can reach the needs of our community, our region, and around the world. Here's the second one. So you pray, "God, would you bless me?" Pray that prayer, but also he prayed, "And expand and enlarge my territory." You can write this down. That prayer is simply this: pray for influence. So if I pray for blessing, and God begins to bless, guess what? Your influence will begin to increase. All of a sudden, you will begin reaching people, coming in contact with people you weren't coming in contact with before. I'll insert this story now because it fits so well. When we launched Legacy Church, one of our first prayer meetings was we still lived in Hayden, and before we made the trek west, across the long dusty trek west, and came across the border into Liberty Lake, one of the first prayer meetings was down off Apple Way. There's a building here right off the freeway, because I felt like God, and still feel like God, eventually at some point, we're going to be off that freeway, and it's just going to be like a lighthouse. All I kept seeing was a lighthouse right here on the border that would just go out into the community and the surrounding area, just perpetually shining. So I was driving by, and I saw this building down there. It used to be called the Muscle Man Building. How many of you know what building I'm talking about? It's this big brick building, about a $5 million building. I said, "Let's meet down there for prayer." Some of you were at that prayer meeting. We gathered with about 30 people, most of whom were from Coeur d'Alene and Hayden and Kootenai County. Just kind of well-wishers and people that wanted to pray with us and like, "God bless you, brother. We're going to pray with you." So we met down there and we prayed, and it felt a little funny, right? Felt like, wow, this is bigger than us. But we prayed, and we said, that building right there, we prayed the prayer of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before they were thrown into the fiery furnace, right? They said, "Our God can save us from that fire." What's the next line? But even if he doesn't, we were saying, "God, we know you could provide that building for us, but even if you don't, we know you're with us. We know you're leading us." And all of a sudden, he began to open this building, and doors began to, listen, influence began to happen. when we just took the few that we have as a God, we just want to be faithful with what you've given to us. And way leads to way leads to way. Listen, business owners, entrepreneurs, you begin to step in. You begin to believe God. You say, God, bless me above so that I can begin to reach out and do more. All of a sudden, your influence will begin to increase because God's honored in that. He just is. Write this phrase down. I really want you to write this down and maybe even hang it on your refrigerator or put it in your bathroom mirror. God has prepared you, or God has prepared for you a life that is bigger than you. God has prepared for you a life that is bigger than you. What do I mean by that? I just tell you. The guy standing behind this music stand recognizes I have an extremely limited capacity. I joke about it, but you know what? I graduated from LA City Schools in Los Angeles. That ought to scare you. I recognize we have limited capacity. We can get stuff done in our own capacity, but we're only as good as we can do. We only pastor so many people, and that's about the best I can do, God. But God. And all of a sudden, when we add the "but God" into the equation, we say, God, bless us. We're beginning to see God's influence. We're beginning to see people walk through the door sitting right here around you. I mean, you could just kind of turn and look to the left, to the right, and give them a smile and say, yeah, it's them. And it's you. That God's adding and he's broadening influence. Why? Because we just said, God, it's all about you. Listen, he does it. I want to read this passage to you. Ephesians chapter 1. Says, I pray your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he has called. Confident hope he has called. His holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. What he's saying here, it's all about people. Psalm 2:8 says, only ask and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the whole earth as your possession. You say, Gary, I don't get it. How do I broaden? How does God broaden my influence? How do I do that? I would say keep an eye toward people. Make it about more than what you're trying to build. Make it about people. Partner with God. God has a purpose for your life. I'd say then learn your God-given design. Figure out, this is so important, figure out why God put you on the planet. How many of you know it's more than your Monday through Friday, 9 to 5? How many of you are thankful to God that it's more than your Monday through Friday, 9 to 5? You got to figure out your God-given design. Beginning in October, November, in the fall, we're going to start a growth track. And we're just taking all of anybody that wants to be a partner with Legacy Church and be a part of the leadership and part of our impact teams, we'll go through growth track. Step 2 of the growth track is just learning your God-given design, your spiritual gifts, your wiring, and just how God maybe would like to use that and leverage that for kingdom purposes. And it may lead to an opportunity not only to serve as a part of impact teams, but to go beyond that and to grow beyond that. Learn your God-given design and then just believe God. Believe God for what he wants to do. He wants to enlarge our influence. Pray, Lord, bless me so I can be a blessing. Pray, enlarge my influence so I can reach more people. The third thing Jabez prayed was pray for presence, the presence of God. He said, Lord, let your hand be with me. Let your hand be with me. When you pray for blessing, above what you need. And then God begins to bring influence or increase influence. Here's what Jabez is saying. I'm not going to be able to do this by myself. God, I need your presence. I need your presence. Let your hand be with me. Jabez knew if he was going to steward the blessings of God and the influence of, from God, then he needed the presence of God. I'm going to say that again. I think that's worth capturing. If I want to steward the blessing of God and the influence from God, then I need the presence of God. I need his presence. Acts chapter 11, verse 21 says, the power of the Lord was with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed, and they turned to the Lord. The power of the Lord was with them. I love what Moses says in Exodus 33. I think really this is the standard. This is the standard for everything that we want to do moving forward. This is the standard in how we planted Legacy Church. This is a standard in how we moved into this facility. This is a standard in how we moved from Sunday night services to morning services. This is a standard in how we grow. This is a standard in how we're seeing God move in Legacy Kids and grow, and families beginning to come and beginning to be a part of what God's doing here. Moses gives us the standard. You ready? Watch this. Exodus 33. Moses said to God, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people, if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. And the Lord replied to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you, and I know you by name. Lord, if you don't go with us, think about this with your business. If you don't go with us, what's going to make us look any different than any other business? What's going to make us look any more unique than anybody else that's out there doing stuff? What's going to make my family, what's going to make Legacy Church be any different than, if it's all about us, if it's all about me, if it's all about what we're trying to do, we're trying to get ahead, or we're trying to meet our needs. Moses said, Lord, I don't want to move. I don't want to do anything more unless I know you're going before us and you're leading us and you're calling us. As a church, we're 10 months into this, and already we're in over our heads, growing. People discover, I think last week we doubled the kids' attendance. I think it was it just doubled. It's going nuts. And we're moving into the fall, and we're having the houses on fire meetings on Tuesday evenings. It's really exciting around here. We believe that God is, as people are coming into this space, we want to gift them back. We want to gift this community with an amazing kid space for Legacy Kids, that when they come here, they just not only are going to have a lot of fun, they're going to learn about Jesus. So God, we want you to go before us. We want your presence to lead us. Here's the last aspect of his prayer. He says, blessing. Lord, I want your blessing. I want as you increase and broaden influence, and then your presence. And lastly, he says, and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And the last one is, pray for protection. I love this prayer model, because you can take this prayer model, these thoughts, and you can pray them. You could pray them every day. You could pray them on the way to work. Oh, God, just bless me today as I go to work. God, would you just broaden? Lord, help me to meet some people today, Lord, that I haven't met before. Just begin to broaden our influence. God, would you just surround us today with your presence? Would you just be with me today. Be with my family today. Imagine just beginning the day before you send your kids out to school. Imagine just pulling them close. Just pulling them close and say, Jesus, would you just surround my kids today with your presence? And then would you just protect them? Why would Jabez pray a prayer of protection? I think you pray the prayer of protection because we have a very real enemy that would love to shut down the blessings of God flowing through your life or your family. In fact, Peter writes, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He went there. He said it. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be alert to him. Don't be lulled to sleep. And here's what's amazing. I know we don't like to talk about the devil. We don't like to talk about Satan. We don't like to talk that we actually have an enemy. But not talking about him doesn't mean make him go away. We just have to be ready. We have to pray the Jabez prayer that says, God, would you just protect us? Would you protect my kids? Just begin to cover them. I'm just going to say, we need to just cover our kids with the authority that is found in the name of Jesus. That no weapon forged against us would prosper. That the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue. We need to take the authority that is ours over our families. We need to be aware, even if our kids are too young to understand, we as parents, we need to know. Jesus, anything that would try to disrupt our family, I take authority in Jesus' name. Anything that would try to come against my kids, I take authority in Jesus' name. Any plan, any assignment that the enemy has to try to disrupt the work of God in our home or in our church, we claim and we stand upon the authority of the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. We need to take authority. Paul writes, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we're killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Verse 37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. We're saying, Lord, strengthen me and protect me from every attack of the enemy. Not only every attack maybe that I'm walking through, not only are you walking through now, but Lord, would you just, any future attack that the enemy might have, might be thinking about, would you just protect us from that one too? And I'm convinced that the God who wants to bless you, to be a blessing, and the God that wants to increase our influence, to infiltrate this city and this region for God's glory, the God that wants to fill us with his presence, and the God who wants to protect you. That God, we draw all resource, and just lean into him and draw all of our resource from him, draw near and trust him. There's a filter. There's a lens as we close together today that I think is important for us to get. We think about a prayer model. And Jesus gives it to us. Think about, a prayer model. Think about ways we want to pray. There's for example, the ACTS prayer model, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. You know, start your prayer time in worship and then confess sin and then thank him for his goodness and his grace and then supplication, just things that I have need of. Kind of end, start with praise, end with need, that type of thing. That's a prayer model, a template. Jesus gives us a perfect lens that I think we could look at any prayer model. As long as we just embrace his lens and his filter on it, I think we could learn a lot. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, you might remember this encounter that Jesus has with a leprous man, a man full of a skin disease. A man with leprosy came and he knelt in front of Jesus begging to be healed. He says, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and he touched him. He said, I'm willing. Be healed. Moved with compassion, this man who was full of leprosy, a very, 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 very contagious disease. They were outcast. They were banned from functioning inside the city walls. They were outcast. He kneels down in front of Jesus. And he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And these three words that are here really are the filter. Moved with compassion, it takes three English words for one Greek word. And I want to give you this really funny sounding Greek word that I want you to try not to forget because I think it's great. Splankidzomai. Splankidzomai. Splankidzomai is, we define that or we interpret that as moved with compassion. Splankidzomai really speaks of something that was happening in Jesus that helps us as we think about how we want to help people. It's the seat of kind of the soul. It speaks of the, like, it's like pity, but beyond. It's like every emotion. It's something that stirs up within a person that says, you know what? I can't even believe what I'm seeing right now. I pastored in inner city Detroit. Patty and I were there. We saw such brokenness that literally just showing up and opening the doors to the church, you realize we got to start a soup kitchen. We got to have a feeding program. We got to provide education. There's so many needs because there's this thing that's called splankidzomai. I can't leave this the way it is. Can't do it. Comes from the same heart that God, when Moses asked the question, when I go and stand before Pharaoh, who do I say sent me? What did God say? He said, I am that I am. You need mercy. You need courage. You need strength. Whatever you need, I am that in that moment. You need mercy. You need grace. I am that. And I'm that today, and I'll continue to be that. It's as if Jesus in that moment when the man said, if you are willing, something in Jesus said, am I willing? I've always been willing. I'm willing now and I will forever be willing. I'm willing now to not leave in this encounter, to not leave this the way it is. I want to bring change. Splankidzomai. So when I pray for blessing over our household, you pray for blessing over your household. Like, not God, just would you bless us with more stuff? No. Lord, would you bless us so that we can be a blessing? Splankidzomai. God, would you broaden our influence? Broaden our influence wherever we go to meet more people, to begin to get your work. Get He's playing Kids Oh My. Lord, would you just surround us with your presence, that as we touch people and as we move in relationship with people, God, they'd really sense something different in us that they don't see everywhere else. Just playing Kids Oh My. We feel it deeply. Lord, would you protect us? Because we recognize, God, that if all we care about is our stuff, all we talk about is the things that concern us and our problems and our woes, and everything kind of circles back to who I am, that I'm no threat to the enemy. But as I begin to get out of my car at the soccer practice and knock on windows, as I begin to go out of my house with fresh baked cookies to the new neighbors in love, as I begin to reach my community, as I begin to go talk to coworkers, I go with a splankidzo my heart, moved with compassion. As we begin to reach kids, as we begin to see them in the neighborhoods, as we begin to see families in the grocery store, see, I already feel a sense of, I'm so glad to be over here. I go to the grocery store. I'm not going to tell you which one I picked. Like, we have two, but we picked one. I walk in there and I see the workers. It's playing Kids Oh My. I see the families running up and down, people on golf carts and businesses, and it's playing Kids Oh My. Lord, as long as you give me breath, and you allow me to lead Legacy Church, we're going to leave this city and this region better than when we found it. Anybody with me today? As long as you give me breath, Lord, in the little apartment complex that we live in, it's not little, it's actually pretty big. There's a lot of people there. I want to live there with heart of splank Kids Oh My. I don't want to leave it the same way that I found it. Would you bow your heads and pray with me today? You are moved with compassion, Lord. When that man filled with leprosy knelt before you and asked you to do the unthinkable, you did the unthinkable. You touched him. I'm sure amongst the gasps and the horrified looks of the surrounding people who wondered, why is this man here? Why is he talking to Jesus? Splankidzo Mai was taking effect. And in your heart, you had already made a decision long ago that you weren't going to leave this man the way he came. God, may we live with that same kind of heart. We don't want to pray the prayer of Jabez, Lord, so we can get more stuff, so we can get greater influence and get more business. And make it about us somehow. Lord, we want to operate in that heart of splankidzo mai. It's people. So help us, Lord. Help us to do that. Lord, as we enter this 21 days of prayer together, God, I pray that you'd fill us. You would expand our cords, oh God. Lord, you know the deficiencies. You know the capacity that we have, not only as pastors of Legacy, but Lord, our leadership base, you know what is needed. you know, all the gaps and all the holes and all the places we need to, all the places that lack. We just want to be faithful, God. Go and do and speak and bless, Lord, in ways we can't even contain. Help us to be faithful with it, God. Help us to reach people with what you do and the resource that comes our way, God. May the city rise up, Lord, within them and say, it's not about that building over there. It's not even about those people over there. There's something about God. Something God is doing in that place and in that fellowship of believers. Do it, Lord. And in that spirit, the spirit of Splankidzomai, bless us. Enlarge our territory. Fill us with your presence and protect us from the enemy of our soul, O God. I pray in Jesus' name.